I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, the traditional custodians of the land on which I live, create and connect. I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging and recognise the deep and sacred ongoing connection First Nations people have to this land, its waters and their rich traditions of storytelling, art and culture. Always was, always will be. Welcome to The Art of Connection, a space created to explore true connection with the arts and conscious creators in our community. Thank you for choosing to be here with me. I'm Yana, an entrepreneur, creative, mother, and the founder of my own heart-led business, Oaken Haven. The Art of Connection explores how heart-led work will guide us to satiating soulful fulfillment and welcomes us home to ourselves over and over again. Like a rising and falling tide, we explore how we're nurtured by the rhythm and flow of true connection. I'm looking forward to slowly exploring the vast tapestry of connection this life brings to us, alongside insightful guests who are recognising the same in their very own meaningful work. While you're here, let's take a moment to slow down, breathe a little bit deeper, and embrace the beauty of these golden moments, because it's in these moments that we are guided to our visions. So let's trust that magnetic pull that always leads the way. Thank you for being here. It's truly a pleasure to have you. Make yourself at home and let's begin. Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Art of Connection. I'm your host, Yana, and I am the founder of a mindful living business and I am a ceramicist. My business is called Oaken Haven and perhaps that's how you found me. I don't know. Maybe somebody sent this to you and if so, give them a big smooch for me because that's very kind of them. You can probably hear it, but I'm actually sitting outside in my little outdoor seating section at home, in amongst plenty of boxes that are being packed up for moving house, and I just wanted to make time to come and sit down so I can have this conversation with you or record this episode for you because it's been something that's on my mind for at least I would say a month or so. This really big shift of letting go and. I know that because it's relevant to me, it'll be relevant to you as well. So I've got a soy latte in my hand that I've just made. And if you've got a hot drink with you or your drink bottle close by, feel free to have a sip so we can stay hydrated and caffeinated. I'm just going to have a sip of my coffee now. Oh yeah, the sun's just come out as well. How good. I'm on this outdoor setting. It was one of the first things I bought for myself when I left my old life behind in my old house, I guess, in my marriage and, you know, when I became a single mum, I thought it would be really helpful to have something like this when, you know, having a two-year-old and wanting to be outside a lot. And honestly, it was the best investment that I got this and a new bed, a new pillow. So now I'm a pillow snob because I spent a bit of money on a good pillow and now I can't go anywhere without it. So I'm sitting out here on my outdoor little lounge in the sun, leaned back. I've got my coffee next to me. You are not far away from me and you can probably hear the wind chimes when the breeze blows as well. So today I wanted to talk to you about the art of letting go. This has come up so much for me lately. There's this big theme the last month or so. I keep seeing it as like a snake shedding its skin. So I guess that idea or notion of needing to release in order for the new to come through. Don't mind that. That's just the tin on my roof expanding in the sun, if you heard that little bang or pop. So this has been especially relevant for me because, as you know, I'm packing up my home that I moved into when I had just become a single mother and I had a 2-year-old. I was in kind of somewhat of a new relationship, and life was very different and very full. And I've kind of like rebuilt myself in this home, and I'll be so grateful for that. I recorded an episode, the one about moving house. I think it was episode 6 maybe. And it was about, my gratitude for my birthday and what this home has given me in the last 4 years. So there's a lot of memories here, and that's becoming probably the hardest part to part with things. But yeah, it's just become so relevant to really tune into what gets to come with us to this new house and this new space and new energy, and what gets to stay here. And that has been a really significant part of my brain space lately, is just really tuning into who I am taking with me, you know, which parts of me I'm taking with me to this new space. So last night, actually, it was very special. We got to show Daisy the new space. It's a 99-year-old 2-bedroom cottage up in the hills. And next year it turns 100. I think it was built in 1926. And we ordered our dinner, our takeaway, and we sat on the lounge room floor and on a picnic rug and some cushions, and we just took our time to just like really enjoy the space and set an intention for the house. It's Daisy kept saying, "Thank you, house. I love you, house." And Albie and I kept smooching, and it was just the best. It was just such a wholesome, incredible moment to take in. And we took our tint paint samples across as well to have a look at the colours of the space and, you know, kind of decide what kind of colours we wanted to go for inside the space. And surprisingly, actually, the colours are pretty good. I wanted to paint the bathroom green, like a real pesto kind of green. And the bathroom is like this beautiful lemon butter colour. So we might leave it, but we've got some new linen curtains that we brought from IKEA a couple weeks ago. That was an overwhelming experience, to say the least. Oh my goodness. We went in there to go measure up some wardrobes and look at curtains. And before you know it, we're like somewhat lost. I'm dehydrated. My bra strap's falling off my shoulder. Albie needs to wee. We're trying to figure out how many curtain rods we need and what size and colour and what the drop is and how many and how big the windows are and which way the arrows are going on the floor. And it was just one of those moments where you're like, wow, we are really... We're about to disassociate from our bodies and just go somewhere else, because this is just a bit too much. But it turned out we got everything that we needed, and we're a pretty good team under pressure as well. We just start finding things hilarious. And also there's no phone reception. So if you're trying to, well, for me anyway, I couldn't Google anything or Pinterest anything or look up anything, because there was no connection. So that was just gone. That was quite the experience, to say the least. But we managed to get some beautiful linen curtains and, just bits and pieces, getting some ideas for how we want the space to be. And a new couch. We haven't bought that, but that's something that Albie really wants to get. Whereas my marketplace feed at the moment is absolutely on point with the most incredible furniture pieces, and it's taking everything in me to not... contact the seller, be like, is this available? So today I wanted to talk to you about the art of letting go. And I thought, while we were sitting in this new space last night, like, I just became so grateful for everything that I had let go of, because it led me to being in that exact circumstance and time and feeling it all. Another thing I wanted to bring up at the moment too is that yesterday I kept feeling the kind of spirit of my grandma Lucy around. And I know she's with me all the time. I have her artwork. She was an artist when she was alive. I grew up with her a little bit on Kangaroo Island when I was a kid. We just had the best fun. She had the most insane cackle. She was super, pretty trendy, actually. She just had really cool jeans. She'd always smile at herself. Every mirror or reflection she went past, she'd kind of like smize herself and, you know, just like I just loved her for that. She was very cool. Had like film cameras, and as a kid, I always remember her dyeing silk scarves in our bath, in our enamel bath. And she loved chickens. She loved rescuing dogs from the shelter. So we always had these random dogs at her place every time we went there. She'd make a roast pork on a Sunday, but she wasn't like a nana, if that makes sense. I think she was only 17 years older than my mum, so she was quite young. And she was very fit and healthy, always in the garden, always had tan skin, super blonde, kind of short pixie cut hair, and just very zany. And the things I would do now to talk to her, oh my gosh. Sometimes I've had her visit me in my dreams where I know it's like we're connecting in the spirit world and I can ask her things and she gives me advice and it feels real. Like I know that that's real. And, but yesterday I felt her spirit or essence, around me, you know, for this special day. And the first one was, going to the op shop to, donate some bits and pieces, some clothes and, you know, other bits and pieces. And a lady walked past me and I smelt her perfume, and it's a very distinct perfume. And as soon as I smelt it, I kind of put my hand on my heart and I was like, oh, I know you're here with me. And like just kind of smiled and I was like, yes, you know, little nod to her, like, thank you, Grandma. I can feel you. I know you're here. And then at school pickup, I was chatting to another school mum and they were talking about their school holidays and what they're going to be, you know, getting up to in the weeks coming. And she said, oh, yeah, we're actually driving to Tilangada. And I was like, what? That is such a niche little town. It's kind of towards Albury-Wodonga. And my grandma used to live there, and that's where a lot of my memories of her are. And that was the last home that she lived in before she passed away. I was 17 when she died, and it was the biggest grief I've ever felt. I think it actually took me years to recover from, to be honest with you. And I was like, Tilangada, that's so bizarre. Like, how cool is that? And I was like, my grandma used to live there, and I remember going to the lakes with my cousins and, you know, looking for fish and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was like, what are the chances out of all the people I could have spoken to today and wherever they're going on the school holidays, they're going to Tilangada. How random. And then we went and looked at the house last night, and then went back to Albie's family home, had showers, put our jammies on, dressing gowns, all that kind of thing. And then we decided, let's go have dinner on the lounge room floor in our jammies, and we'll order dinner and take it with us. And Albie and Daisy went into we went to the charcoal chicken shop, and they went in to grab our food. And my phone was in the back seat, so I wasn't, you know, on it. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to take this time to be really present and just sit here for the 10 minutes or however long it takes. And it was so beautiful. I was just watching, kind of people watching, you know, everybody else in the street and what they were getting up to. And that Robbie Williams song, I'm loving angels instead, you know, that song. And one of the lyrics was, I'm not usually a Robbie Williams kind of gal, but the lyrics, let me look it up. Robbie Williams, Angels, I think it's called. And then it says, and through it all, oh, this might make me cry. And through it all, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong. And down the waterfall, wherever it may take me, I know that life won't break me. When I come to call, she won't forsake me. I'm loving angels instead. Oh gosh, that got me. I was like sitting in the car with like tears streaming down my face, and I was like, oh, thank you, Grandma. I really love you and I miss you, and like, thank you for being here with me. So I know she's definitely around, and that just like sealed the deal for me. I was like, yeah, I can feel it. And maybe there's a song that reminds you of somebody that you love that's no longer with us. They're in the spirit world. And I just, yeah, when it doesn't come up super often, but when it does, I'm like, I can feel it with my whole body. It's not just like, oh, could this be, or maybe this is. It's like, this is for sure. And as soon as Albie and Daisy came back to the car, like as soon as they touched their hand on the door handle, the song finished. So I think that was just a little moment for me to like enjoy myself. Sorry about the wind out here. So yeah, that was quite interesting and really lovely and comforting. But we sat on the floor of the new house and just really enjoyed it, really soaked it up. We set our intentions for the space, and Daisy said what she wanted the space to feel like, and Albie said what it was for him. And I just am so looking forward to creating that all together, the three of us. And one thing that I think will be the biggest difference for me is that I'm not sure if people know this or if you know this, but I have been paying a commercial lease and a residential lease on my own for the last 2 years almost, solo. And I do not know how I've done that. I think it's through the support of you, if you've been into Oakenhaven, because it seems unsustainable to be paying two rents as a single person, operating as a single person. And I am so looking forward to having a little bit more breathing room financially, where I'm not, as stretched, I would say. So that's going to feel really nice. And I'm looking forward to not having so many overheads that, you know, now that Albie and I are living together, we'll be able to, you know, share the load a little bit more. So yes, that's a big thing for me. I'm really looking forward to that. So in terms of letting go, this is the memo that keeps coming to me. The idea that the universe, there's a universal law. One of them is the vacuum law of prosperity. So nature abhors a vacuum. So the idea, the vacuum is the void. So when you create a space or a void, it will get filled. Have you ever noticed that? You clear something out and then all of a sudden there's something else there. You clear out your cupboard and then someone donates you some clothes or whatever it might be. But I noticed this a lot throughout my life. And I think also just this idea of letting go, the law of letting go, that the growth and the transformation often starts when we decide to release what no longer belongs to us or serves us. And it's not as a giving up, but just that surrendering or letting it go energetically. I think that has been very helpful in the last few years for me. And also this idea that, it's not even an idea, but the notion of detachment. So like once you've decided to let go of something, just not having any more emotional charge in that decision, to release what is no longer yours. So letting go of like any outcomes or fears or identities, and instead creating this, creating the decision that you're open, trusting, willing, that it's not passive, but it's an intention, but without forcing it, if that makes sense. So what letting go looks like for me, what I've let go of and why it's mattered so far. So I'm just going to go to my notes in my phone. So, oh yeah, the big ones, identity. So when I decided to become a single mum and leave my relationship, I was in a 13-year relationship. I'd been married for 3 years, I think, out of those 13 years. And that really shook me. I really had to let go of what marriage looked like for me, what a single parent or a single mum looks like for me. I had to really shake the identity of who I was when I was with this person, who I was in my life, in my role, in my family, all of that. Oh, and what kind of mother I wanted to be, because it wasn't aligned with who I was at the time. And a lot of that is that sunk cost fallacy, you know, like, you know, oh, well, we've been together for this long, so I should keep going because, you know, otherwise it's a waste of time or it's wasted energy or wasted whatever. And it was the same with uni, you know. I was a secondary school teacher before I was doing what I'm doing now. And I went to uni for 5 years to study secondary teaching arts and psychology. And that uni was a slog for me. Some subjects were super easy and then others I was like, oh my God, like linguistics, for example. I loved it in the end, but God, it was a slog. And I just felt like, well, I've come this far. I've got a hex debt of however much. It's taken me 5 years to get myself through uni. So I can't leave teaching now. And it was also the identity of what teaching meant to others. It's a noble profession. It's like generally pretty respected in the community. People know what you do, you know, all of that kind of thing. And the other part of that is that I know that I am a good teacher and that I can connect really well with other people. I really liked teaching the year levels that I was mostly teaching, which was like year 10 and year 11. I really liked that part of my job and being in the classroom, but I was drowning in the admin and everything else that comes with teaching that people just wouldn't know unless you are one. So yeah, I think absolutely letting go of identities, relationships, roles, and physical things can be so painful. And it requires us to be more honest with ourselves. So it requires us to be truthful with what we really want and desire. And I think that starts perhaps by giving yourself enough time and space to really sit with where you're at. So for me, this has been journaling because I often see the same patterns or phrases or things pop up while I'm writing. And I think, there's a lot of conditioning in my relationship in terms of what it meant to be a wife, what it meant to be a mother, what it meant to be a working mother. And I had to really sit with what felt incongruent to me. And for me, it felt like there was constant friction. I felt really depleted. I had very little life force energy in my body. I was quite, I would just say like deficient in a lot of things, like deficient in energy, in minerals, in sleep, in time, in compassion, in a lot of different ways. And I know that this is perhaps, I know that this is not everybody's experience, but for me, I think we had both outgrown our relationship and weren't willing to kind of make it work. I don't know how to explain it. I feel like I tried everything. We, you know, tried to offer counseling and that was refused. And I tried to different ways of, you know, communication and all of that. And in the end, the answer was that it was the end of the road for us. And my the part for me was learning to let go. I just had to like decide, okay, I'm here. I'm at the end of the road. There's no going back for me now. And here's how I'm feeling. And here's what I think we should do. And once that had been decided, it was terrifying. I didn't know how to get a divorce. I didn't know how to separate. I didn't know where I was going to get any money from. I didn't know who was going to support me. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know how to sell a house. I'd never sold a house before. There were so many parts of me that I didn't know how to do or what to do because I had never done them before. And nobody at my age, at 29, in my circles was in the same position as me. So I reached out to a beautiful friend, Doris, love you, Dodo, who I used to work with to ask her, hello, Doris, how do you get a divorce, please? Could you please help me? There are so many instructions in the world about, you know, how to get married, how to update your details, how to change your name, how to whatever, whatever. There's literally nothing about like a women's guide to divorce or separation. And had I known how straightforward it was, I probably would have done it sooner. And if you know me or any of my friends that have since separated, then you'll know that I was always a big advocate for them. I would take them into Centrelink. I would send them the form that they needed to fill out. Send them an email with a checklist and a recommendation for a mediation, mediator or lawyer, things like that to help them in their process so that it didn't have to be dragged out any longer than it needed to be. And that was life-changing for me going through that process. And I had really great friends. My beautiful best friend, Abby, has seen me at the most harrowing times of my life and sees me now moving into this new house with my beautiful partner. So it's interesting how when you decide to let go of one thing or one identity, you also have to let go of the people that are associated with that identity. And that feels like a death. It feels like a grief. I feel like in that time of my life, leaving my marriage and therefore half of my family, my, you know, in-laws, that I had to grieve that connection to them. And I had known them since I was 17. So my whole adult life, I had been around these people. And some of them completely cut me off, which is, you know, I look at it now and I'm like, that's expected, I guess. But it really was like a grief. People that I would message or be in contact with, however often, all of a sudden had just disappeared. Suddenly no one was available to help me with a two-year-old and packing my house and trying to figure out how to move house by myself. You know, it just felt like all support systems and structures had just fallen away. And, you know, there were deletions from Facebook and Instagram and getting blocked and not replying to messages and things like that. It was a real death, which felt very difficult and confusing and quite confronting at the time, people that I didn't think would be like that. But at the same time now I can see why, and we're just not aligned in a lot of ways. And it is how it is. That's just how the cards fall sometimes when these things happen. And it all makes sense. So learning to let go of my identity as a wife, a mother, a teacher, allowed this void to appear where I could create the life that I wanted based on my values. So I had been kind of pushed to the point of this friction or incongruence that was like, you know, when something's so annoying that you kind of just have to like stop and be like, okay, this is enough. We need to change now. And I feel like that's kind of the point that it got to where I was like, no more. I cannot do this any longer. And I cannot do this anymore. Imagine like a rock in your shoe. It's fine for a few steps, but if you're going to walk 10Ks with it, that then you're like, okay, stop. We need to pull over, get the rock out of my shoe, figure that out, readjust myself, put my shoe back on, and then keep going. And I feel like that's kind of, you know, where we were at. So I got to decide how I wanted my life to look, how I wanted my home to feel, what kind of space I wanted it to be, what kind of mother I wanted to be. What kind of work I wanted to do in order to support myself as a new single mother and my daughter who was two. What kind of life would I begin to have? And the thing that happens after you make a big shift, like letting go of a relationship, a job, friends, whatever it may be, is that your world can suddenly become very small. So for me, it felt like, imagine if I was a big oak tree, it felt like all my branches got cut off. And all of a sudden, all my energy had to go down into the trunk and into the roots. I felt that I slept a lot more because I was using up so much energy all the time, just keeping 100 tabs open. It's also very emotionally draining, like the process of going through a separation and, you know, mediation and things like that. But I found that I had like a handful of friends that were really on my team and by my side throughout it all. And that's actually all I needed. I didn't have the capacity to have like this big extended time with other people. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so that's something to expect, that if you are letting go of something, it's okay for this to happen. And it just helps you conserve your energy in lots of different ways. So we've got the sunk cost fallacy of, you know, I've done this for so long. I've been in this relationship for so long. I've studied for however long. I took all this time to save up this money for this house and now we're going to sell it. And I just had to kind of let go of that. I had to let go of a lot of physical possessions, you know, my old home, my old routines, and just really get stuck into the packing and donating and selling rhythm. And it was very scary because it's unknown, and a lot of grief, realigning my beliefs, as I was saying before, and deciding who I really wanted to be. And it's such a beautiful way of recalibrating yourself. Okay, if my values are freedom and connection and creativity, how can I bring more freedom into my life? Maybe I work part-time. How can I bring creativity in my life? Okay, maybe I could play with clay a little bit more, create more things. How can I bring connection into my life? Okay, maybe I don't see 10 different people, but I see the same two or three repeatedly, and we build a stronger connection in that way. So deepening relationships, more authenticity with close friends, being more honest and open with myself, being mindful of who you share the information with, because not everybody is going to be happy for you. And some people actually get quite emotional about a decision that you've made for yourself. So just really safeguarding your energy. And then the positive side of letting go was that I remember writing a list of all the non-negotiables that I wanted in my new space. So I wanted it, it's actually quite amazing, but I wanted a home that was easy. So it was easy to look after because I just did not have the capacity to do anything more than I had. I wanted it to be like warm and peaceful, and I wanted it to be walking distance to shops and to like a bike track or a walking path. I wanted it to be walking distance to Daisy's daycare and kinder. And I did say that I didn't want it on a main road, so I wanted it on a street. And the funny thing is I got all of those things. It was on a flat block. It was nice and warm and open and peaceful. I mean, walking distance to the shop, which is where Oakenhaven is now. I mean, walking distance to the horses down the road. There's a bike track that goes along the wetlands. We could walk to Daisy's daycare and kinder. And the only thing was that it's not technically a main road. I'm on a service road off a main road, but that was the only thing. Everything else we got. And the best part was that the owner of this home has organized for a gardener to come once a month to trim back the hedges and mow the lawn. So I didn't even need to worry about that. It was just included as part of the rent. And that was just like heaven when I heard that. So this became this space for like my own inner peace and my clarity and feeling more connected to myself and my identity rather than things that was expected of me. So I got to decide, yes, I'm a relaxed mother. I'm a present mother. I'm a mother that's creative. I'm a mother that can drop you off and pick you up from kinder. I'm a mother that likes to parent outdoors. We go for bike rides. We go for scooter rides. I'm a mother that wants to prioritize connection in the community. So we would, you know, scoot up to the shops where Oakenhaven is now. When it was a news agent, we'd go get a coffee and we'd, you know, really enjoy the community down this way. And this helped me build a really deeply loving and respectful and like Daisy and I just really know each other. And I really got to learn who she was, especially as a 2-year-old. I felt like I've talked about this a little bit before, but I really had to grieve the first 2 years of her life when I just felt like I couldn't be present because I was so overwhelmed with life and very unsupported in a lot of ways at the time. So I wasn't able to really enjoy her as a baby because everything felt stressful. And so I kind of felt like I got that time back with her in a way before there was kinder and before there was school and we just had this little bubble in our new home. A lot of co-sleeping, we still co-sleep quite often, and it just really helped me develop this relationship with myself where I could have this soft landing. And, you know, now I think about how moving into this new space, how like we're on the other side of the coin. And I know I was going to talk a little bit more in this podcast. Sorry, it's been a bit more about myself and my experience, but I'm hoping that you can maybe draw some parallels from that without, you know, it being too one-sided. But just basically that creating this void for myself helped me fill this space with everything that I wanted my life to be. I wanted it to be peaceful and calm and warm and safe and loving. And it's just really given me the space to create all of that for myself. And in turn, it helped me invite in and grow my relationship with my partner because I was a well-rested woman. I was a woman who was well-resourced. I was able to be more present. I found that I wasn't dissociating from my body as much. I would often leave my body and I could feel it happening. And I feel like I rarely do that now, apart from in IKEA the other day where my body thought we were, you know, in a stressful situation. And this home, this void, was filled with our artwork and beautiful warm memories and a life here that I wasn't able to build in any other circumstance or place. And I think also just being able to close off energy in spaces that does not you know, we don't belong to anymore. So saying goodbye to our old house before we moved here and, you know, that kind of thing. I feel like if you are on the precipice of leaving a relationship, letting go of a friendship, leaving a job, saying goodbye to an old version of you, imagine me gently placing my hands on your shoulders and giving them a big squeeze and looking you in the eye and saying, you have got this. You can let go. It is safe to let go. You are provided for. Everything you need will come into your orbit once you make the decision and you have the intention of letting go of this for something better. Letting go of the relationship for the one that you deserve. And if you're listening to this and you think I'm talking to you, then I am. And I love you. Letting go of the relationship or the people in your life that you feel like you have to constantly monitor or tell you how to be loved or how to show up for you, it's safe to let that go for something even better. It's safe to let go of the job where you feel anxious and stressed and tired and even just start looking for a new one that feels more aligned to how you want to live your life. Letting go of clothes that do not align with who you are or your personality or what you do anymore. Letting go of books or journals or memberships or subscriptions or anything that doesn't fit with you anymore. Letting go of perhaps sport or certain things that you used to do but you don't do, you know, it doesn't suit you anymore. I think the biggest one, maybe even like just getting your hair cut and letting go of anything that you are associating your hair with and just making that an intention to let go. You can do this standing under the shower too, just like letting the water rush over your head and just stand there and think of things that you decide to let go of and imagine them going down the drain. For me, the biggest thing that I've had to let go of in the past 12 months is a victim mindset. And I cannot tell you how powerful this has been for me. Deciding that I'm not a victim in my circumstance, I'm the governor of how my life turns out. It is completely my responsibility how good my relationships are, how well rested I am, what I choose to put in my body, what I choose to do with Daisy, or what kind of mother I am with her, what kind of relationship I have with movement and strengthening my body. I really had to decide that, okay, I'm letting this go now, or I'm choosing not to be a victim in this way, in a financial sense, even within my own family. And I've watched how my relationship with my family has really shifted over the last 12 months because I've decided that my relationships with them are peaceful and content and not emotionally charged, and that we are all responsible adults who look after our own feelings and we can express ourselves and communicate well. And that has been a big game changer for me. And even in, you know, even just in business, like if you own your own business, you'll know this, but when it gets overwhelming and hard, there is no one else to do your job for you. And that is the best and the worst part of having your own business. There have been so many times where I've thought, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm so tired. I've got no time. It's not fair because I've never done this before and I don't know what I'm doing and everyone else just knows what they're doing and they figure it out and they don't have a neurodivergent brain and they're not, you know, dealing with being a single parent, or they don't have to X, Y, Z or co-sleep with their kid, or they don't have whatever support. And it just had to come to a point where I was like, okay, well, this is the circumstances that I am working within. So I need to be really radically honest with myself. How much of this is an excuse and how much of this am I willing to just let it go? And that victim mindset has been so helpful for me to get to the point of where I've gotten so far, but it just got to a point where I was like, I cannot carry this with me any further. And seeing my friend Crystal and doing our breathwork session together really helped me release the armor that the victim mindset or victim mentality gave me. And visually, I could imagine that I had this armor and I'd carried it for so long, my whole life. I'd been carrying around this armor because it served me for whatever reason. And it got to a point where I was like, I can feel this armor like blistering my skin. It's not helping me anymore. It's we've reached a point now where it's detrimental to keep going without the armor. And in this session, it really helped me to visualize literally like unclicking the armor off my shoulders and dropping it off over my back. And instead, I had wings that came out of my back instead. And this signified to me that I am in control of where my life goes. I can lift myself up. I can be a good leader, a good friend to myself. And every time I get stuck in that victim mindset of, oh, this has happened, or I didn't have time, I often am like, no, you did have time. You chose to spend it on scrolling or doing something else. Like, let's not say we didn't have time. So I can really call myself out now and say, where have I been a good leader and where have I led myself astray? And then course correct without any shame. Like, okay, cool. We stuffed up a little bit there, but let's get back on track. You can start over at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. That's totally fine. Let's just recalibrate ourselves and keep going. So I found that victim mentality, shifting that has been one of the biggest shifts, but also just the identity of who I was. So where can you let go of something that holds you back to a part of yourself that is no longer for you? Imagine a snake shedding its skin. Imagine it being like, no, I don't want to let go. I'm too scared. What would happen? The whole process is disrupted. There's no way for the energy to flow freely and forwards. And I know in the Vedic worldview, there are often like there's three stages that we cycle through all the time. The first one is creation. The second one is maintenance. And the third one is destruction. And this is where our energy flows through as we are experiencing life. And nature favors creation because we love to regenerate and grow and build and become. This is why we often have so much energy when we're creating something new, and the universe always supports newness because that's its favored state. And when something gets too stagnant, I know in Chinese medicine, it becomes, you know, they think of stagnation in the body as toxic and as poisonous. And if you think of a swamp or water that doesn't move, it becomes the same. It's unhealthy. And if we keep ignoring the whispers or the signal to let go or to change or to adapt, then we move into destruction. So, for example, say if you're always late to work, the first time, maybe no one says anything. The second time, someone will say, hey, I noticed you were late today. Can you be on time tomorrow? That's like the bumping back into alignment. Then the third time or fourth time or whatever, then you might get a warning from your boss. And then if it's consistent enough and you don't change your behavior, you could potentially be fired from your job because you're not rocking up on time. Does that make sense? So if you are not listening to the clues or the signals that are coming through for you, this is when I feel like it's that same saying as like, listen to the whispers so things don't have to yell. It's the same thing. So where can we listen to the whispers or the signals in our life that something needs to go or change or shift so that newness and new life can be brought in? I think that's been so helpful for me, just to trust the process of it, even when it feels hard. And so now moving into this new home, and creating this new space, I have, compared to, you know, when I first became a single parent, I really, when I think back on it, I'm like, these are all the things that I was longing for. These are all the moments that I was longing for and I was craving and searching for and I was open for. And it was having a deeply respectful and loving relationship. Although when I left, I was very happy to be solo for a long time. I was like, let me just live in a one-bedroom unit with my little girl and I'll be happy forever. Just let me be. And I didn't mean to meet Albie, but we kind of, our paths just crossed and it was, you know, on from there. And I think that having a very loving and deeply respectful relationship has been such a game changer for me and a blueprint for what I want Daisy to look for in a relationship. I would be so stoked if she came home one day and said, this is my partner and these are the things that we love doing together and this is the base of our relationship. I'd be like, yes, I'm so stoked for you, knowing that it's based on deep mutual respect in every possible way and that it's like playful and fun and affectionate and very loving and happy, you know, and that was something that I was so looking for. I wanted a peaceful home, a loving home, spaces to rest and to rejuvenate and regenerate myself. And there's a beautiful sunny deck at the front of this new space, and I'm so looking forward to sitting out there with a coffee in the morning. I now get to work and, you know, be in Oakenhaven. That was a space that I created from a void. It was a news agent since the 60s, and I applied for it, and there we go. We filled the void with a newness, a new space, and it has been so well supported by the community. And I didn't know that that was there waiting for me. And I couldn't have had that without letting go of my teacher identity, of being who I was before I was the founder of Oakenhaven. I had to let go of clothes that reminded me of that time. The denim jacket I wore often when I was teaching. I've let go of my lanyards, my whiteboard markers, paperwork that I thought I needed to keep, all of the things, textbooks, everything. I had to let it go so that that was no longer tied to the identity that I wanted to move into. I've shifted the way that I dress. I dress for myself and what makes me feel comfortable and most like myself. And that has been huge for me as well. And I wanted to have a really good, beautiful relationship with my daughter. And I do. And I wanted to have a really good, solid relationship with her dad. And I do. We are 99.9% of the time on the same team about how we raise Daisy and the values that we want for her. And he's happily partnered and is due to be married later on this year. And, you know, like, I just kind of explain the level of gratitude that I have. I'm going to cry about it again, but just the fact that Daisy gets to be in two homes where the adults in her life are peaceful and calm and loving, and they're not fighting and they don't hate each other and they're not at each other's throats, or they're not seeing eye to eye. You know, I think for children to grow up in homes that feel peaceful is so important and is such a preventative measure for so many other things down the track. And I'm so grateful that we have been able to get over ourselves enough to give that life to her, even though, despite how difficult it has been sometimes. But all of the things that I wanted for myself are coming because I said no to the old me. So we've got this new little cottage in the hills and this relationship and this space for Daisy and, you know, a new beautiful garden and things like that that we can work on together, new memories to be made. And I couldn't have had the business, the relationship. I couldn't be the person that I am now without having said goodbye to everything in my life before that and to be brave enough to let go. And I think that's the thing. It's the art of letting go. It's the art of knowing, okay, now it's time for me to release this and detach myself from it and just see where we land. So please, if you're worried about anything in your life that you're kind of holding on to, I really just want you to be reminded that letting go isn't something to fear. And that when we release what no longer fits with us or our life, that we create a sacred space for something even better to arrive. I promise you, it is even better than you ever could have imagined. You have to make space for the unimaginable in such a positive way. The void will not stay empty. It'll fill with love and alignment and a new life that is more yours than you could even imagine. So if you've ever felt afraid to let go or wondered what might meet you on the other side of letting go, this episode, I hope, has been a reminder for you that the universe loves a vacuum, loves a void, and that if you make the intention to fill the space with things that are definitely you and yours and aligned and ready for you, and you start showing up in ways that you kind of meet the universe halfway, that life will be sweeter and better on the other side, I promise you. Thank you so much for listening today. I'll post some photos of, packing and what life has been like for me recently. Thank you very much for all your tips on how to, tips on packing, basically. Most people said, if you haven't touched it or used it within a year, then donate it. And my beautiful friend Liana, who now lives in the Netherlands, said, if an old version of you wants this thing, then get rid of it and only take with you things that match your highest vision, your highest self. Only bring those things into your space, which I loved. I hadn't really ever thought of that before. So that's the focus now. And we've kind of moved into a game of, before I was like, oh, I'm scared to pack, it's so daunting, to now it's like, what can I donate rather than what can I keep? And I love that. It's been so much fun. So I need to go make some custom-made mugs for a beautiful friend for an event of hers, and enjoy this sunshine and drink the rest of my coffee. So good luck in letting go of whatever it may be that you're working on. I trust you. I believe in you. Life is better on the other side. And I will see you again next week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here, for taking a moment to connect with me. I hope today's conversation has brought a sense of peace or insight, reminding you of the quiet connections that weave through your life. If this episode hit any point at all with you, I would love for you to firstly just share it with a friend or somebody that you think would really value the topic that was discussed today. And if it aligns with your values, for you to share it on your socials as well, that would be super helpful for me. You can join me again next week as we continue to explore the art of connection. Until then, may you walk gently through your days, staying open and grounded and always connected to that golden magnetic pull of life. I'll see you soon.